Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
The Dateable podcast features real stories from real people of how they make modern dating work or not. I'm your host, Yue, former dating coach turned dating insider, if you will. On each episode, you'll hear commentary from my producer, Julie Kraftchick, and other surprise co-hosts.
This episode is brought to you by Hire Club, where friends help friends find jobs. You guys, we all know how challenging it is to find a new job, but Hire Club makes it easy. You can post a job or refer a friend for one. You can also get career coaching with professional career counselors to improve your resume, increase your salary, or practice interviewing and more. Join today at hireclub.com.
All week, we're having an Instagram contest. Follow us on Instagram at Dateable Podcast, and for each friend you tag in the post, it'll count as an entry into the contest. And the prize? 2 tickets for you and a friend to see Fuck Tinder, a Love Story, which will be at Piano Fight in San Francisco on Wednesday, March 14th. We saw the show back in February and highly recommend it. So looking forward to giving you and a friend some tickets so you can experience it for yourselves. And of course, you can just go buy tickets at f-tinder.com for this show or any of the upcoming shows as well.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Dateable, a show all about modern dating. Have you ever thought about what it would be like to date, let's say, a dating coach or a dating expert? Or what about being married to one? Well, our guest today, Josh, is married to someone we already had as a guest on our show, Megan Merrill, who owns Meet Foxy. She is a dating expert as well as a dating coach. And Josh has an interesting story. He used to be a completely different dater. How was he able to get Megan and to lock her down? That's what we're here to find out. Hey, Josh, want to say a quick hey?
Hi.
Okay, let's do a little background about you because, you know, we want to know everything. He's 39 years old, originally from SoCal. He's been in the Bay Area for 10 years now. And he is married. He just got married. How long ago?
About 3 months ago.
So
I'm off the market officially.
You got married in October. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
October. In October of 2017.
Yeah, yes. Just this last October. Uh-huh.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you married someone who, for a living, gives advice to people on how to date.
It's true. So all of the things that I learned in the past about dating just... I had to, you know, reevaluate what exactly I needed to do to get this girl.
So let's go before Megan to after Megan. So okay. AM, BM, okay?
All right.
BM first. Before Megan, how were you dating? What was your dating strategy?
Oh, God. Okay. So let me go back like way, way, way back. So I'm 39 now, right? Mm-hmm. And going all the way back to like high school, and I'm not going to bore you with like everything between, but just to give you a little background, going back to high school, I was one of those people that like held on to that romantic idea that, you know, before I have sex with someone, I'm going to, you know, wait until I find someone that I love. And I waited and it wasn't happening. And then eventually I just gave up on that. And I, you could say I was kind of a late bloomer because I ended up not having sex until I was 24. Which is pretty late for a guy, especially having gone to, you know, a fun party school for college. Mm. But then I started making up for lost time. So In my mid to late 20s, I really started trying to understand the dating world and trying to understand like what it takes to get the type of girl that I want. And more importantly, during the earlier years, I guess that would be mid 20s for me, trying to figure out what type of girl I wanted. And I guess for everybody in the dating pool, it's important to be able to date around and figure out what mm-hmm, you like mm-hmm. and what you don't like and what works and what doesn't and what makes you head for the hills. So I did that a lot. As I got older and more wise, I started discovering different techniques and tools and tricks and things to help me along in my process. So I read the book, The Game.
And so did
a lot of people, though, right? Because it was a bestseller.
It was a bestseller.
It sold like, I don't know, a million yeah. plus copies or whatever.
Yep.
And I also read The Mystery Method book.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
And I got really into it. And so I was living in Southern California, and I had a big life change, and I moved up to San Francisco, and I didn't know anybody. Uh-huh. So I went on online to do dating sites, OkCupid and Match and all these things. And my first thought was, you know, this isn't just going to be to hook up or just to find a girlfriend. Like, I actually wanted to meet people. I wanted to use that platform as a way to sort of meet friends and sort of network my way into a group, because I didn't know anybody up here. And that's kind of how it started. And fast forwarding, I ended up having a girlfriend, met some friends, some of which were from dating sites, some were not. Mm-hmm. But now I'm going to fast forward to like early 30s, which was kind of like the peak of my dating time.
Okay. I love this fast forward.
I know.
Right? Because I don't want to bore you with all the details. Just get to the good stuff, right?
It's exactly.
So so that kind of brings you through understanding the background, mm-hmm. my background, up to sort of early 30s and to the point where now I'm in San Francisco and I have a small group of good core friends, and I've read The Game and I've read Mystery Method, and now I'm like really putting these theories into practice to try to figure out how to crack the code,
okay.
right?
Uh-huh.
And
did you neg?
Yeah, of course. Of course I neg. But that's like level one, okay. right? Negging, like...
It's like just an intro.
You're like, you're so basic right
when,
now.
When people think about The Game and all that stuff, all they think of is like negging. Oh my God, are you negging that girl right now? And essentially it's like, are you insulting her to make her turned on to you? But like, that's such a small part of the whole thing. Genuinely, I think all the material in both of those books and whatever other books follow that that topic it's good information. A lot of it is very true and applies very much to real world circumstances.
Well, it gets your confidence up.
It does, and it really does work. And here's the thing. The difference is intention, mm-hmm. right? So if somebody is using these, I guess you could say powers or skills or tools for bad, and I would consider like just random hookups, manipulative tactics to get women to sleep with you, that's all bad. I think that's horrible, and that's probably what gave The Game and all that stuff a bad rap. Mm-hmm. But the goal with that kind of stuff, at least it was for me, was to use those things so that I could fine-tune my ability to date, so that when I meet the girl I really want, I know how to get her and not necessarily make her fall in love with me, but keep her interested enough so that I have an opportunity to show her who I really am, and then we can see if there's a real connection.
So just a foot in the door, basically.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, you get junk mail in your mailbox, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what dating is, you know? You get all this crap, or I guess at least for a lot of attractive women, you get all this crap, all these like approaches, all these people that are interested in, let's say, making a sale, right? And then every once in a while, something cuts through the clutter and is interesting enough for you to give it consideration. That's the goal, is mm-hmm. to get to that point. However, most unfortunately, most people that have read those books and used those techniques, at least that I've heard of, tend to not go further than just getting a woman to sleep with them. So so that's kind of like a common misconception, I think, about those techniques.
What were some of your go-to techniques?
Well, I guess there are these strategies, right? There are openers. There are closers. There are rapport building techniques. There are all these different tools that you can use in different sections of the whole process, mm-hmm. like a sales funnel, right?
Yeah.
And so when you first start learning, when I first started learning, you use the canned responses, the canned openers, like, oh God, dare I say, like the opinion openers. Mm-hmm. It might be like, hey, excuse me, I just wanted to ask you a quick question. Like, you're asking a question, you're engaging in something other than, you know, hey, you're hot, what's your name, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you get them to start talking.
What would be a question? Because then I would just think you want me to donate to SPCA or something.
Well, to be honest, I can't remember like the canned ones, because ultimately what you do is you take the scripted one and then you adapt your own, something okay. that works with your own personality. So I had one that I sort of made up that I called it the celebrity lookalike opener.
Okay.
Because I remember sometimes you actually come across someone and you really think they look like somebody. Yes. They look like a celebrity. Sometimes it happens, right? Like, yep. You go up to someone and you're like, oh my God, you know who you look like? You look like so-and-so, right? Uh-huh. But I thought what would be really funny is if I said somebody that the person absolutely does not look like at all, just as like a funny opener to kind of make people laugh. So,
but not insulting, I hope.
Okay, here's what I did. So
if someone was like, you look like here's Lucy Liu,
here's what I used to say. So for you, okay, clearly mm-hmm. you're Asian, mm-hmm. Which maybe you guys don't know because you're not seeing her. I'm not sure. But if back then, I certainly wouldn't do it now. But back then, if I saw you and I was interested in you, I might have gone up to you and been like, oh my God, you know who you look like? And you'd be like, well, who? And I'd be like, oh my, it's like a striking resemblance. Uh-huh. Looking at your eyes, your face, your body. You look exactly like Whoopi Goldberg. Like, exactly. You know, I know it sounds cheesy and stupid, and my friends used to make fun of me for it, but it got a little bit of a laugh.
Yeah, because I knew that you were.
It got a little laugh.
Do people these days know who Whoopi Goldberg is?
I don't know. I mean, I'm 39, so it's not like
this was back in the day, you wait.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The point was the first person that came to my mind that was like very different from the type of girl that I would go for.
You look like Carrot
right?
Top.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, that would be a good example.
So something so wacky and out there.
Just ridiculous.
They know you're joking.
Just
yeah,
completely okay. ridiculous, and obviously they know that I'm hitting on them. But I'm trying to be funny, and yeah. like now I've opened up conversation.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Right?
Uh-huh. Giving you an in.
And so
yeah.
that's, I mean, you could call it a line or an opener or whatever, uh-huh. but the bottom line is that it got me talking to someone, and then yes. I go on to the next thing, which is like, you know, I don't know, I would start talking about something else, probably something circumstantial, like about something they're wearing, or maybe it's where we are. I'm not really sure. During that time that I had just moved to San Francisco, I got so into this that I took notes,
okay,
wrote wow. them down on like an index card, and would go out to bars alone because I didn't know anybody. And I just put them into practice and like, this works, check. This one didn't, check. And okay. like, I was systematically,
so you were even testing.
I was, yeah, exactly. Okay. I was systematically testing different strategies to meet people.
Okay.
And eventually I got pretty good at it. And so now fast forward to fairly recently when I met Megan, my now wife.
Ooh.
When I met her, first of all, I thought she was hot, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I realized as soon as I heard that she was a dating coach, I'm like, shit, like she's going to know every fucking trick
that
I have.
She's going to see right through you. Where did you meet her?
So I met her at a party, like, 6 or 7 years ago, and it's kind of okay. She had a boyfriend with her at the time,
uh-huh.
at the party. I was single,
okay,
and it was one of those like overnight burner parties, someplace out in the woods that you know, everyone's dancing and on drugs and stuff.
And
we weren't, but uh-huh. yeah, kind of like that. Anyway, so she was there with her her then boyfriend, and we had a really strong connection, a really good spark, and obviously. You know, her boyfriend's right there. So yeah. I'm not a homewrecker. Right. So I'm not about to go and like, you know, screwed that up. But apparently I vaguely remember this, but Megan tells it really well. Apparently we ended up in like this triangle frisbee throwing to each other. And me and her then boyfriend were like aggressively throwing the frisbee at each other in some sort of weird masculine attempt to impress her.
Oh my God, you're like.
And so we were like trying to come up with like more and more creative ways to throw the frisbee, like under the leg, spin around.
Oh my God.
And like Megan's kind of like, what the hell is happening? And we're just like throwing this frisbee super hard at each other.
You don't remember this.
I remember a little bit of it, but I mean, she was just like, what the hell is happening? And I honestly don't know what exactly I was thinking.
I'm just kidding.
I know. Who took home the prize now?
Okay.
So anyway, that night that was the only time we talked.
Okay.
And then we didn't talk for 6 years.
Wow.
No communication, nothing. Like I didn't follow up with her. I didn't try to I didn't try to become her orbiter. Because when I was talking with her at that party, I asked her how long she had been with this guy, because it makes a difference.
Does, yep.
If a girl's been in a my rule was, if a girl's been in a relationship for less than 6 months, I'll kind of hang in there. I'll kind of stay.
You have a chance.
Yeah,
right.
I'll turn myself into an orbiter, because realistically, what's the probability that a relationship that's only been going for 6 months is going to turn into marriage?
I love this term, orbiter.
I know, that's what I was like. Just kind of stay around.
You've never heard of orbiters?
My planet of men.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Tons of women have orbiters. Those are the guys that like act like they're friends, but really they're just waiting for an opportunity to jump in and try and start something.
I call them hoverers, but I like orbiters better orbiters. Because it's like active motion. Yeah. They're like orbiting around you. Hovering is just inactive.
Yeah.
They're just there.
Yeah. They're just there. Yeah. Okay. I like it.
So she said she had been in a relationship with this guy for, I think, like 4 years.
Oh, wow. So, yeah.
So I was like, okay, forget it. Yeah. Probability's high. This thing's going to, you know, stick. Yeah, I'm not going to waste my time. Little did I know that they would end up breaking up. And we reconnected. I was helping her do a video project for a friend.
Oh,
there was a mutual friend.
Amazing.
And get this. The video was about guys you don't want to meet. Like nightmare dating scenarios. And I showed up there as a favor to another friend, mutual friend of hers. I acted like a complete douchebag. Intentionally. That was my role. The douchebag.
Oh my God. Wait, so, did you know she was filming it?
When I showed up there, I'm like, oh my God.
You didn't know that when you agreed
to
have
a friend. Oh my God,
it's
this girl.
Oh my God.
And she said the same thing to me. She's like, oh my God, it's you. And I'm like, oh shit. Like,
but you remember each other.
Yeah, absolutely. So I did it on camera and I was a complete douche. It was like incredibly embarrassing. After that, I got her number and we started dating. And
so she was single at this time.
She was I guess. I mean, she was dating multiple guys.
Uh-huh. Okay, but she wasn't in like a long-term relationship.
Right.
When you met her the first time, was she a dating coach back then?
Yes.
Okay, so she's been a dating coach in your eyes this whole
time.
So
let's hear about the lines and how you went around. Like, I'm fascinated by this is my typical approach to get a girl. I know this girl's going to call me out. What did you do?
So she had heard from the mutual friend of ours that I was like this big player. And that because the mutual friend is someone who's been in like the polyamory scene. And so I kind of treated her like one of my guy friends. Like I would brag about my escapades and my you know, glorious wins and all these things. So she had this perception of me as like this ultimate player. And she told Megan that. And so Megan's like, okay, I really have a connection with this guy, but I've heard that he's like a major, major player and I need to have my guard up. And so she told me on our first date, she's like, it might have been on the phone.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, just so you know, like, I don't want you using any game on me. If you use any game, this is over. Like, I like authentic relationships. And if I feel like this is like fake or you're acting or trying to play a part or anything like that, then this is done.
Go,
and
I was like, I love it. I love it. Well, that's what she teaches. So,
at that point, I'm like, holy shit, like 6-7 years or whatever of all of my dating escapades.
Yeah.
Everything that I've ever experienced, every girl, every relationship. None of it mattered.
Uh-huh.
None of it mattered.
Your toolkit is gone.
Yeah.
Just be yourself now.
It was this ultimate irony because I had done all of that with the thought that someday I'm going to meet this perfect girl and I'm going to know exactly how to make her fall in love or help her fall in love with me. Mm. And then I'll be happy because she'll like be interested enough to get to know me. And then, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter at all. I had to be completely and authentically myself, which is great, but I still will maintain that for most people, I assume that most people will not end up with a dating coach. For most people, there is value to being interesting and cracking through the ice to start conversations so that somebody can get to know you.
But did you see this as a new challenge? Because most people who are so accustomed to pickup strategies mm-hmm. wouldn't even consider pursuing a dating coach. Mm-hmm. What made you feel confident in pursuing Megan?
So one of the things that I learned in reading The Game and studying all that stuff is that it's important to, they call it inner game, which is inner basically, game. I know it sounds really cheesy. It's basically just confidence and you want to have an actual interesting life. You know, you don't want to go out to a bar or a club or something and have some conversation with a girl and say like, I've done all these amazing things that are lies, because then you're just a sleazeball making up bullshit. Right. You want to actually have things that you do in your life that are interesting. And so I kind of turned all of the, I'd like to think that I have an interesting life. I'm a professional photographer. I chase forest fires. I play guitar and saxophone and I've traveled all around the world. And so I use some of those things to help, like, you know, create value when I'm like making a line or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so instead of using lines, I guess I would just be me, you know? It sounds so simple.
Yeah. Did you feel like your like tools were kind of like stripped from you? Like, what was like the feeling of vulnerable. Now I gotta be me?
Vulnerable. It was vulnerable. Okay. Because that's like when you're 100% authentically yourself, then you're opening yourself up for people to criticize who you are,
yeah.
which can be a lot more painful than somebody criticizing what you say or what you do. Mm-hmm. And that's, for a lot of people, that's something that is too difficult a cost to risk.
Mm-hmm. So at any point, I mean, describe sort of like your first date with Megan. Were you tempted to fall back into your old ways, and does she call you out at any time?
I will say that I maintained a few little tricks.
she didn't call you out. Oh, what were these
just
tricks?
Just a few.
Tell us.
But they weren't like crazy. Okay, so we have this first date. We met up at a sort of bar coffee shop place, had a drink, we were chatting, having a good time. And I made sure that I was the one that ended the date first.
Mm, okay.
You know, it's like that false takeaway thing. Mm. But in this case, it actually was a real takeaway because I actually had somewhere I had to be. And I planned the date with the thought that that I could keep it authentic. Mm. I only had about 2 hours to meet with her.
So and this was done on purpose, but you still did right. have something to
but
do.
But you did have a life.
Right. Interestingly enough, I was getting ready to leave to go on a motorcycle trip across Colombia with one of my friends.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's pretty interesting.
And I was leaving the next morning. And so when I left the date, I was like, and we had a great time. And at the end of the date, I'm like, I have to go. I really need to like start packing. I'm going on this motorcycle trip across Colombia and like, it's interesting, and it sounds like a line, but it's not. It was real, and I planned the date right before that so that I could drop that, you know?
Yeah. So did you tell her before the date that you only had 2 hours, or did you tell her during the date?
I told her that I don't remember.
Okay.
I probably told her beforehand, like, I can only meet you for, like, an hour or two.
Yep, okay.
But I really want to see you. And also, I really wanted to see her before I left because I didn't want the momentum that we were having to stale out because I was going to be gone for like 2 weeks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was over New Year's. So I'm like, oh, great. You know, there's a high probability chance that she's going to meet some other guy that hits on her and she's going to forget all about me. So I got to, you know,
maximize,
plant some seeds and like.
So you used some of the skills, but you did it in a more authentic way.
Yeah.
I like this. Like, I had somewhere to go because I actually did have this really exciting trip planned. It wasn't like a trick up my sleeve that I needed to
use. But does she question you on it?
I don't think so. But okay. I mean, even if she did, she could have just looked on Facebook and seen all my
pictures. That's true. I think you also know if someone's being authentic and not versus like making shit up.
Yeah. Well, she's especially intuitive. Oh, yeah. Exactly. I mean, for someone who's a dating coach, she's like borderline like psychic. Like she just.
And especially because she went in being like, I'm on to you. Like, I'm going to like, you know, it's like.
Yeah, definitely.
So let me tell you something else that was like sort of along that thread. This is now maybe second or third date. I've gotten back from this trip and we're just like sitting in her car under the Golden Gate Bridge having like a deep conversation, which I loved. And obviously she could tell that I was very into her and she drops this bomb on me. She's like, so... I just want to let you know that I'm not looking for anything serious right now. Mm. I'm not looking for a serious relationship. I've had serious relationships for, I'm like a serial monogamist. And this is the first time in a long time I've been single. And I just don't want you to get your hopes up because I'm enjoying being single. I'm dating multiple guys right now.
Oh, damn. Okay.
And I'm not looking for anything serious. Oh. If the right guy comes along, it's like the man in my dreams that I'm going to marry, then okay, then I'll definitely give that a chance. But I just want to be forthcoming with you. And I was like,
how did this make you feel?
Well, I only had one option. And that was like, I told her, I'm like, okay, I hear you and I understand. I just want to warn you that you should probably prepare yourself because you're going to be my next girlfriend.
Oh.
And so I just want you to make sure to really enjoy the time you're spending with these other guys because it's not going to last much longer.
I love that.
And she was like, she's like, whoa, slow down there, cowboy. You know, like I just, if you know what you want, then...
Did she think that was a line, or do you think that she thought that was?
It was a little gamey.
A little gamey.
But it was also very me because if I know I want something, I'm very bold and very honest and straightforward and confident.
Okay.
And I genuinely thought like I have enough value in my life, I have enough confidence in my life that I can win her over these other guys.
So her dropping that bomb on you just made you think, okay, I'm going to work harder to get her.
Well, that's what I said, but after that, I made sure to have a couple girls around that I was dating.
I was,
honestly, I was hedging my bets. I hedged my bets to protect myself emotionally.
Mm. Did you, before she told you this, did you tell her you were looking for a serious relationship? What made her want to tell you this?
Probably my intensity, I would imagine.
Got it. Okay.
Did you know, like, she was it, or were you still just like... getting to know her and feeling
like
it out.
After the first date, I mean, I wouldn't say that like after the first date I was going to marry this girl, but like after like the second or third, like she caught me like staring at her hand. This was kind of an embarrassing thing. And she's like, what are you doing? And she's like, what are you thinking? And I'm like, I don't want to tell you. And she's like, what are you thinking? I'm like, I'll tell you. I was like, I was just wondering what it'd be like to put a ring on that finger.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, it kind of scared her a little bit.
Got it. But so that like, was part of the intensity that she's like.
That's pretty intense.
It is. But at the same time, like if I know what I want, I'm going to go for it. And if she's not into it, then why waste each other's time?
How long did you guys date for before you put a ring on that finger?
1 year exactly.
Okay.
I proposed to her on our 1 year anniversary.
1 year from the first date or 1 year from?
1 year from the date that she, that we were officially together. So we dated for a little bit before we were officially together.
So let's talk about that. Okay. Defining the relationship. How did you get the relationship there?
She was hard to get. She really was.
And that worked? Guys like that? You like that?
I liked it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it a game or was she just being like, it sounded like that was the mind frame she was in.
Yeah. I think you just never know with a dating coach.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, she's really smart. I mean, someone who studies dating and helps people to learn how to connect, like, it's hard to get one over on someone like that. So I just reserved myself to just, you know, jump into the river and float wherever I go, you know, whatever happens. So we're dating. There was, we took a trip to Vegas. She had a work trip. I came along. I had some work too. And we were really intensely into each other. And it seemed to me that it was obvious that we were going to be together, and that it might even be obvious that we're going to probably end up together long term. Mm. However, we hadn't actually talked about being together yet. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting because I, you know, I wanted to make absolutely certain. I don't want to blow myself out of the water and screw it up. And so I just kept waiting. And then eventually I'm like, okay, we're on this night hike under a full moon in Vegas at this place called Red Rock Canyon.
Uh-huh.
And there's like chirping frogs or ribbiting frogs. And it was this intensely romantic moment. And we're just hugging and holding each other. And I'm like, this is it. This is the spot.
Uh-huh.
I, you know, I've got to ask her to be my girlfriend. And I did. And it was this intensely romantic moment. And she said no.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. She said no.
What is she, what was her reason?
She just wasn't ready yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
And okay. I was like, I can't believe you said no. Like, this would have been the perfect place to say, this is where we got together.
Yeah.
And it ended up that, and of course I was butthurt about it. I was like, you know, why would she do that? Is she, maybe she doesn't really have confidence in our developing relationship. She mm-hmm. did. But she kind of wanted it to be on her terms, you know? She wanted to make absolutely certain. Mm. And so, like, 2 days later, after we got back from Vegas, we were both really missing each other, couldn't even be away from each other. And she, like, sits me down, and she's like, there's something I need to talk to you about. And I'm like, what? She's like, this is kind of difficult. And, like, she was setting me up. She was fucking setting me up to think I was about to get dumped.
Dumped, yeah.
And then she told me she loved me. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, she fucking tricked me.
I mean, she probably, it sounded like she was like, wanted to make sure she was absolutely certain too, especially during a period that she's like, I've been in all these monogamous relationships. So it probably was like, sometimes it's, I would have jumped to the same conclusions too. It's like hard to like imagine from another side. Sometimes.
So she went from, no, I don't want to be your girlfriend to I love you.
Yeah.
In 2 days. Interesting.
She did want to be my girlfriend. Yeah, yeah. She did. Yeah. But she wanted to like make absolutely certain.
Yeah.
100%. Because she didn't really want a relationship at that time.
Right.
You know, she was going, and she told me this later. She's like, I thought if I'm going to be in a relationship, it has to go toward marriage at this point. Uh-huh. And if it's not going to go toward marriage, I'd rather just be single and have fun. Because she had been in so many before. So it was understandable.
And that's exactly what she said to you when she was up front.
Yeah.
Like, if it's going to be the person, it's going to be the one.
Yeah.
So why do you think the girl that told you to lose all the lines ended up being your wife?
Yeah.
It's time to take a quick break so we can tell you about the latest service we have been building over at Dateable. We'll be offering a platform to connect you with vetted dating experts from our network to help with everything from dating profile reviews, coaching to see where you're getting stuck in dating, and even ways to get real feedback about your dating style. The sessions typically run from 30 minutes to an hour and can all be done via Skype or Google Hangouts, so you can be anywhere. We're so excited about this because so many of you wrote in asking how you can find people to help up your dating game, and this should be a great way to get personalized, affordable advice. We'll be adding more coaches and more services, and of course, let us know if there's something specific you'd like to see. To meet the coaches and book your session today, visit datablepodcast.com/coaching. Now back to the show.
So why do you think the girl that told you to lose all the lines ended up being your wife?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the ultimate irony, right? For me, like some of my friends will joke about how many girls I dated. And one of my friends says that like my dating roster was like the United Colors of Benetton. Like I wanted to experience everything.
Yeah,
I wanted a Mexican girl,
an
Asian girl, everything. I wanted to know what all the different cultures are like.
Uh-huh.
I'm a very curious person, and it was a lot of fun. It really was. And so all of that prepared me for something that I wasn't really prepared for, in a way. It was unexpected.
But in some ways, it did prepare you. All the dating, all the game playing, mm-hmm. all the lines built up your confidence.
Yes.
For you to be confident in yourself to then be prepared for the right person. I mean, it wasn't just Megan, who's a dating coach, but just Megan in general,
right.
prepared you for her.
That's true. That, and it's also worth mentioning that at that point in time when we first got, when we got together, I felt like my life was really in order. I felt like my career was going well.
That's important too.
I felt like I had enough money to support a relationship. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know about other men, but for me, I'm sure a lot of men think this way. I know I always did. So I'm a photographer now, right? But I wasn't always. And before I was a photographer, I had a regular 9-to-5 job working cubicle life and whatnot. And when I switched to being a photographer, I was, I think I was like 32 or 33 when I made that jump. And that was damn scary.
Yeah.
To be an artist.
Yeah.
At 33.
And you're so not relationship material at that time.
Right. Because what girl wants to date a 30 something year old starving artist? Nobody, right? At least that's what I was thinking. And so I really wanted to have my career in line and to have consistent, like, good amounts of, or a good amount of income that could support both myself and whoever I'm with, and a core group of friends, and have a colorful, interesting, diverse life. And that all contributes to my inner confidence.
Yes.
And so there is something to be said about the timing.
Yep, for sure.
I think it's also not, I mean, yes, we're talking about you as a former pickup artist and all the lines you use.
Not officially.
But not officially. Take all that, you know, take that all that away. It was still, you were building up your dating resume. And I think that's why it's so important for people to just go out there and date.
Right.
Even if you don't think you're ready for something, it's good to just go and practice your social skills. Know, find out what you like, find out what you don't like, your preferences, and build up your life, even if you don't have the tools of a pickup artist. Obviously, you had sort of an experiment to play with, which is great too. I think everyone should be doing this, not, you know, using pickup lines, but experiment with what communication skills and tactics work and what doesn't.
But what I liked about what you said is, like, you use, because I think there is something about the pickup lines, I agree, they get a bad rep, but at the end of the day, they're just a way for people to start talking.
Exactly,
and that's
really
what you were using it to do, and like building up those social skills, seeing what it would be. So I think, I mean, I think everyone goes through stages, like, of serial dating and then maybe something more serious, and that definitely prepares you for that serious because you know what you want, like you said.
It's true. The thing is, though, like, you've heard of the 10,000 hours to mastery thing, like, whether it's guitar playing or whatever it is. Like, once you've done 10,000 hours of something, then in theory, you should have it mastered. And I think the biggest issue that most people have is that they don't go on enough dates. And you need to, and maybe it's not just dates, but enough approaches.
Quality dates, though, I would say. I think we encounter a lot of people who go on date after date after date, but they're going, they're just going through the motions, but they're not learning from these dates.
So yes, so that that brings me to the second thing. So there's two things. One, you need to have many hours of experience in dating in order to understand it. And two, almost more importantly, you need to be able to look at each date or each scenario and figure out what worked and what doesn't or what didn't. And that correction opportunity is so, so key. So Megan runs she runs workshops through Meet Foxy. And she actually made me go through one of her workshops. She did. She did, because she's like, I want you to see what I do. I want you to experience what my clients experience. Because a lot of these guys, they're not like, I thought, okay, this was a big misconception. I thought the people that she would work with, would be like these awkward, you know, geeky people that I would never want to associate with. But they're not.
They're just like normal people that need
they're
a little
regular people that maybe have anxiety or they just don't remember or never learned how to approach. And so I went through this workshop with her, and in the workshop there's like a section of theory where she's like teaching people how to date and how to connect, and you do role play and you like learn how to essentially pick up on someone. But then there's another section where you actually go out to bars.
I love
really
it.
Go
I love
out
it.
She takes these guys out And it's mostly guys that she works with. Mm-hmm. And she'll have them approach people in the real world, and they'll come back and they'll say, she'll be like, you know, you have to debrief. What was your experience like?
Well, they did that in the game, I remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was like a big thing of like having that feedback loop. And I think that is really helpful.
It's imperative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm the type of person that I was able to do that on my own.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, in my, hopefully it's not 10,000 hours to my mastery, but I was able to like go home and look at what worked and what didn't. And if you aren't able to do that yourself, it's important to have somebody to bounce your ideas off of so that you can know what is working and what isn't working for you.
So did you have to go through this exercise and go and pick up people?
While I was doing the workshop?
Yeah.
I did. It was super uncomfortable for me.
That's awkward.
Because I had to go up to girls and hit on them and flirt with them and get them interested.
In front of your girlfriend.
In front of her. And also, what I realized was more disconcerting to me was not the prospect of potentially failing at picking up a girl in front of my girlfriend, but failing in front of the guys who paid to be there.
Yeah.
Because if she's like, I'm teaching this workshop and this is my boyfriend who's going to be doing it with you, if he fails, what does that say about her?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of pressure.
Okay. So here's where I agree. I'm totally down with the introspection. I think that everyone can learn from dates. But then my other thing is like, everyone is different. You can say one thing to one person and then the same thing to another, and they have totally different reactions just because some people are going to jive with you and some aren't. And I think like one of the areas that probably is really how you end, I mean, I think all of it built up, but probably why you really got Megan was because you were yourself at the end of the day.
Fortunately, who I am does work with her.
Right. And that's all that, but that's really just the connection. Like it just doesn't work with, it might not work with someone else, but that's not who you're married to.
Right.
But also you said this word intention, and I think that is so important to know, because we've talked to pickup artists, we've talked to former pickup artists, and one of the biggest critiques of that community is intention, and the original intention was to sleep with as many women as possible.
For some people.
For some people, and I think your intention, if you're authentic with your intention of saying, hey, I want to date, and I want to date for a serious relationship, potential marriage, that's a different intention, and whatever tactics or lines you use with that intention are totally fine.
But in that book, a lot of it was just to build confidence, and like people that weren't exposed to women, get them more exposed to them. So isn't what's focused on in that book, but it was a big part of it.
It was marketed to men. Let's be honest here.
That's true.
Men, I mean, single, lonely men want sex. It's the number one way to get them interested in it is to talk about, hey, you may be sitting at home having not had sex for like over a year, but you could get this beautiful blonde model by doing these things. Right. Like it's a very powerful, you know, motivator.
Absolutely. I think though, I go back and forth on this, but I do agree with the idea of in the beginning when you're just dating and you want to figure out what you like, same with online dating, they call them vanity swipes because you just want the validation of someone who likes you back, even if they're out of your league. Mm. I think there's something to be said about doing vanity swipes and also collecting phone numbers to build up your confidence so that when you do end up with the right person, you no longer have that urge to go out and collect phone numbers or to collect those vanity swipes.
Yeah.
Kind of have to get that out of your system.
You know what? Validation is a toxic sickness in our culture today.
Oh, yeah, with social media.
I mean, I won't go off on a tangent in that direction, but just like bullet pointed list, looking at like Instagram and selfies and all that stuff, like validation is a dangerous thing. Yep. I mean, even for myself too. Mm-hmm. Like when I was
everyone is guilty.
Deep in the pickup stuff, like I had I don't know how many phone numbers, so many. Like I collected them. It's like, you know that song is something about like Jar of Hearts, like collecting your Jar of Hearts or whatever.
Your jar like, of telephone numbers.
It's just here's the thing. The danger of spending 10,000 hours or however many hours it takes for you to master or at least get comfortable and good at dating, the danger is that you can easily get lost in the cravings and
The addiction
of getting validation, and pseudo confidence mm-hmm. and whatnot. And it's, I don't know exactly how to prevent that from happening, but it is a real danger that can knock you off of your track.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Okay, so from all this, what are some of our takeaways from this discussion?
Actually, just two main takeaways. One is about authenticity. So even if you want to set some boundaries for yourself on a date, like I need to end this date within 2 hours, you have to have an authentic reason for ending the date.
Right.
And you have to have something to back up what you're doing. Can't be just an empty, like, oh, I'm busy in 2 hours.
I got to get back to my friends a minute. I just wanted to ask you a question.
It doesn't seem authentic.
Don't upper hand it just to upper hand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't do it for the sake of just doing it. And then the second one is about intentions. I already talked about this, but what are your intentions when you're going out and meeting people? And one of the best intentions we found is you're just wanting to meet new people. Like you were saying, having the mentality of a new person in a city is actually a great mentality, because then you're kind of open to trying out different ways of meeting people, being open to just talking to anybody. So we can sort of use that sort of mindset, even if you've been in San Francisco for like 10 years, it's always good to play the tourist
yep.
every once in a while and say, I'm just super open and new today, and my intentions are to meet new people, whether they're for romantic interest or not.
Yeah, I think my takeaways is that everyone has their journey of how they get somewhere. And I mean, I think if you didn't have the period that you were picking up women and meeting a lot of women, all that, it would not have prepared you for where you are today with Megan. But also, I think it's important that people don't judge people for that journey. Like, she could have easily hurt her friend that's like, oh, player, ignore that. But who you were then isn't who you are today.
Definitely.
And it helped you get to where you are today. Like, I think you said a really valid point. I've heard this other place too. It's like, there was a male dating coach once that was like, actually be concerned with the guy that hasn't like slept with a ton of people and like dated around, opposed to the guy that has, because the guy that has gotten it out of his system.
Yeah.
The other guy is going to wonder what else is out there and what's there.
That's a really good point.
And it's not universal. I'm sure there's some guys that don't, but there is something to that. Like, I think at least for myself too, I'm like, I've done the serial dating thing. So I'm not like, oh my God, I need to like meet all these people. Like, it's, if you've gotten that out of your system, you know what it's like, what you're not missing and like all this stuff. So I think, it's accept people's journeys, but not judge them for it. And it also sounded like Megan was also going through her own journey at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Being in all this monogamous relationships and mm-hmm. really making sure that the next person was it. So it's also being conscious of their journey. Like, it sounded mm-hmm. like you were, that you were like, I'm not going to orbit now, but I will stick around, even though she's like, I'm not your girlfriend. And mm-hmm. then she came around.
Exactly.
Yeah. My, takeaways that I'll leave are, and this is something that I've learned from Megan, mostly, is number one, be authentic.
Yes.
Be who you really are. Because the moment you start acting like someone else or trying to do things to appeal to certain people, you're going to attract people to a personality that you aren't.
Yeah. Right.
You want to cut out the people in your life that are not interested in who you really are.
Yes.
If who you really are isn't interesting to someone, don't waste your time trying to get them, because mm-hmm. they don't jive with you.
Right.
You want someone who likes who you are and what you do, no matter how geeky or dorky or awkward or strange it is.
Yeah.
So don't try to be someone else. Try to be yourself as much as you possibly can,
totally.
No matter what the cost. That's number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, I'll say, if you aren't capable of going out and meeting people on your own, then maybe you should hire Megan.
It's true. You guys can be a husband and wife team. I love going out with my married friends because they're constantly pimping me out. When I was single, I would always go out with my married friends.
They, yeah.
Right?
But I think sometimes there is something about having that like accountability of a group. Mm. Like you said, you were able to do it on your own, but not everyone is. So like mm-hmm. it sounds like going out to bars with a group of people that you just mm-hmm. learn some stuff with is a good way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to your accountability, my last thing was like, even these pickup lines, right? If you're going to call them that, I'm going to air quote that. But it's, you still found a way to make it something that felt authentic to you. Like, you weren't going to just use the generic one because it wouldn't have felt natural.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think people can tell if you're just like using something to open a conversation versus something that's very rehearsed and like done. So I don't think the takeaway is like, don't use any out of the box pickup line, because sometimes like they do open the conversation, especially this day and age when no one's talking in real life. Like, it is kind of refreshing if someone came up and was like, you look like Whoopi Goldberg. So if that jives for you.
And I don't recommend that anybody uses that. Like, that was a little cheesy and it wasn't like the authentic stuff.
We're going to go out tomorrow and it's going to be like all these guys using that line.
And then they're like, all like, who's Whoopi Goldberg? Yeah.
Who's Whoopi Goldberg?
Don't use that. Just be yourself.
Or, yeah.
I do think that the person that you eventually end up with is the person who does challenge you, and the person who your normal way of doing things may not work on them. So I would argue that if Megan didn't tell you in the very beginning to throw away all your tactics and strategies, and if she wasn't a dating expert, you probably wouldn't like her, or you wouldn't have pursued as hard because there was really no barrier to entry.
Maybe. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, the student trying to get the teacher. It's like a formidable opponent in a way, a challenge. And I've never shied away from a challenge.
Or I still don't think your connection would have been as deep.
Yeah.
That's where at least, I mean, it's hard to know, obviously. We didn't see how it played out that way, but it sounds like you were able to finally be like, I gotta just be myself and be vulnerable with this girl. And that's ultimately what led to a marriage. So,
yeah.
I think it's about this last takeaway, and you said something that sparked this for me, Julie. It's about like these quality dates that we need to focus more on, not just dating for the sake of dating, but every date you should have takeaways from it. And during the date, you should think about, how do I move this date forward? Even if you don't see romantic potential, how do I move this conversation forward in which I'm going to get something out of it? I'm going to learn something out of it. What we hear a lot of times is people go through the motions and they ask the same questions, talk about this exact same shit on dates, and they walk away going, I don't know how I felt about that date. They become ambivalent. And we don't want it's about quality over quantity. So yes, go on all these dates to find out more about yourself, to learn about other people, but make sure they're quality dates and you're taking away something from them.
Perfect. Awesome. Do we have time for a quick question of the day?
Yeah, let's do it.
This comes from Jason. How do you know when it feels right to approach a pretty girl in a situation that appears to be uncalled for, such as a bus stop, grocery store, or another place where people generally are doing their own thing? Any thoughts?
I definitely have thoughts on that. In response, I will pose another question. What makes that scenario uncalled for?
Yeah, that's who decided that?
Who decided that was uncalled for?
True.
I don't think there's any scenario where it's, unless, I mean, if you're at a funeral, that might be kind of a bad place to pick up on someone, but maybe it wouldn't, depending on the scenario. I don't think that we shouldn't create limits like that. We shouldn't create these rules for why you can and why you can't approach. I think if you're curious about someone, harness that curiosity and go and talk to them.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many times, and I'm guilty of this too, that I'll be like, oh, like, I'm going to meet someone if I go out tonight to a bar, but I don't think about like every other interaction I've had in the day. And it's like, why does it just have to be like this one time of the day when you're like, not even natural, right? Like these other times, like this is like your life day to day. So I totally agree with you on that.
In fact, the bus stop, the store, walking down the street, wherever, those places, you're going to have probably more quality interactions with someone than at a place like a bar anyway.
Yep. And it's probably in terms of like lines or ways to approach them. Do you have any suggestions?
At a bus stop?
Say a bus stop, yeah.
So in this scenario, Jason sees a hot girl at a bus stop, and is she waiting for a bus?
Yeah, she's waiting for a bus. Well, I'm just making this up. Or she's waiting to be approached by Jason. Say she's waiting for a bus.
I don't know. Maybe he sits down and says, you know, where are we going? I don't know. It honestly doesn't really matter what you start with, as long as you don't come off as creepy. As long as you're like, you know, you're friendly, you're smiling, you're genuinely curious about them. You know,
I find the best way to start or open a conversation is to have some sort of prior knowledge they may not know. So even if you're making up, for example, if you see someone at a bus stop and you want to talk to them and they're sitting there, just be like, you know what? I wouldn't sit there. I saw a homeless man peeing there yesterday. Like something that makes it seem like I'm offering you some sort of knowledge and I'm opening up this conversation. I'm also helping you, even if it's just not real.
If it were me, like after maybe a couple minutes of just chatting, sitting like at the bus stop, presuming they're sitting or something, I might be like, you know, there's one problem with this bus route. It doesn't seem to be going to this particular restaurant, and I really would like you to go to this restaurant with me, maybe for dinner. And I don't think the bus goes there, so we got a situation
here. We got a situation.
I would be like, and what's your name?
But I remember, like, I had a friend that was, like, recently single. He was a really good-looking guy. He's like, what do I say to girls? I'm like, honestly, just, like, say hello and just don't be creepy and you'll do okay. Like, I think there's – it's interesting. This whole conversation, too, is opened in. We've heard on the podcast, too, just, like, the inner dialogue that men have that us as women sometimes don't see and take for granted of, like, trying to, like, get a leg up on other men and, like – approach women, like there's all of that, and I think it's really fascinating. But so, I mean, I'm not gonna speak for men because I'm not a man, but like I think women are receptive as long as it's not creepy if they're into what is in front of them.
And for people in general, not just for women, but I mean, we hear it from the women the most. Women say, oh, men don't approach me in the city. They're just not aggressive like other cities. Well, I would also say let's do our part and make ourselves more approachable. In this situation, it shouldn't be all Jason's responsibility to go up and talk to this girl. The other girl should also make herself available to be talked to or approached if she were open to it. So for one example is I always say pay attention to what people are wearing or bringing with them. People who tend to have kind of like, let's say, words on their shirt are much more open to being approached than people who are wearing all black. That's like their I don't want to talk to anybody mode. So that's just if you find ways to open up the conversation, you can always look for something. And if you want to be approached, try to wear something that could open up the conversation.
I didn't know
the
all black outfit was the shield.
The all black is like you become invisible or you become kind of part of the background.
Yeah, I
but if
see
you're
that.
Wearing like, let's say, a collegiate sweatshirt from where you got your master's or from your mom's college or whatever it could be, right? That's a great way for someone else to come up to you and be like, wait, did you go to MSU?
So I think this is a great time to mention that I used to go out to bars in the marina wearing a 3-foot-tall pink flamingo hat.
There you go. That would open up the conversation.
Amazing. Did women come up to you all the time with it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really fun.
Wait, didn't Mystery wear like this top
hat?
Yeah,
he did. You were channeling your inner Mystery.
It was my inner goofball, really, because it was basically saying, I don't give a fuck. I don't care what you're supposed to wear. I'm just having a good time.
And it's a conversation starter.
It is. I had a whole drawer full of hats.
I mean, I think that's the end of the day is like just give people an excuse to talk to you.
Exactly. And I would say, just to be fair, because you guys can't see Josh. Josh, how tall are you?
6'5".
Okay. So you're already going to be getting attention wherever you go.
Plus the flamingo hat made me like 7 feet tall.
Even taller. So I would say that for those of you who may not be as tall as Josh, it's harder
just
to get
a larger flamingo hat.
There you go.
Some stilts. But you can find other ways of wearing something, carrying something that could open up that conversation.
Or maybe advice for Jason, wear something. Like if
how about a bus driver outfit?
I mean, he doesn't have to be reactive. He could still be proactive too. But if he had something that he was wearing, it could, even if he started the convo, could give someone something to bounce back on.
I've definitely seen collegiate sportswear gear, like a hat or a sweatshirt. Oh, yeah. Those work really well.
And anytime I see someone from Boston,
exactly.
I talk to them. If I'm interested or not, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. If I see someone wearing like a Cal hat, I'm always like, go Bears. Even though the city, there's like a million of us. Right. It doesn't even matter.
And for Jason, that all that stuff works and it makes it easier. But the backup plan to go back, going back to being truly authentic, is if you were to walk up to this girl at the bus stop and told her exactly what you were thinking, fully being honest, that would work too. For example, going up to her and saying, hey, I know this may seem a little weird, a stranger coming up to you at a bus stop, but I saw you from down the road or whatever, and I thought you were really pretty, and I wanted to come and say hi.
Mm-hmm. That's very authentic.
It's true. It's not game. It's not a line. No. It's, I assume, what he was thinking. Yep. And by being completely honest and straightforward, girls will appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. I love it because it's complimentary. It's also not, you're like basically asserting yourself as a non-creep, which is like the main concern that a lot of people have. That's great.
Awesome. Okay, those are great takeaways. And Jason, keep us updated on what happens at the bus stop. Okay. Thank you so much, Josh, for coming on our show, telling us the story. I'm going to get the other perspective from Megan one of these days.
Cool. Can I mention her company
name? Oh, let's do it. Yeah, let's plug Megan.
Megan's company is called Meet Foxy. So if any of you are looking to utilize her dating coaching services, it's meetfoxy.com.
FOXIE. That whole group idea.
The workshops.
Doing the workshop and then actually going out in real life to bars. That's amazing.
I learned stuff. I thought I knew it all. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. It was very enlightening. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Awesome.
Okay. And then listeners, if you want to, hone in on your communication skills or even just dating skills, definitely tap Megan and her husband, Josh. I really think you guys should be a husband.
Maybe I'll wear the flamingo for wife. You.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or just lend it out.
Yeah. That could be your... It's a new business.
I'll lending tell you where to buy one.
Lending conversation starter gear.
Oh, my God. This guy, I remember in Hayes Valley, had like a little pig. Like the little tiny pig. And I've never seen more women swarm this guy. I was like, we should start a business of rent the pig.
Somebody rents puppies here in San Francisco.
It's so smart.
So smart.
It is smart. Although it's kind of a little like...
I know.
Douchebaggy.
You know what? So I was at the cafe.
Depending on your intention.
It depends on... Exactly. Going back to authenticity and intentions. I was at a cafe with our friend Chris Wilson, who's been on the show, and I went in to get coffee, and he was outside with my dog Mojo, and I came out, and literally three girls were hovering around him, like, what's his name? What kind of breed is he? And it was just so natural, because Chris could be like, that's actually not my dog. My friend is in there getting coffee, but I'm guessing he's like some sort of Lhasa Apso, but I would love to get a dog of my own. And then it really just opens up that conversation. So if anybody wants to rent Mojo for the day, I have to vet you first, but I'm willing to do that. All right. And also, we're still looking for guests for season 6 and season 7. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, just reach out to us. And we'll wrap this up now.
Stay dateable.
Your action item for this week is to go out in public and devote 1 hour to talk to as many people as possible. Now, not just talk to them, but find different ways of opening up the conversation and keep it authentic.
This episode is brought to you by Hire Club, where friends help friends find jobs. You guys, we all know how challenging it is to find a new job, but Hire Club makes it easy. You can post a job or refer a friend for one. You can also get career coaching with professional career counselors to improve your resume, increase your salary, or practice interviewing and more. Join today at hireclub.com. If you didn't know already, we have a revamped website with articles, videos, and content all about modern dating. You can also find our premium Y series, where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We've had some great feedback about how actionable these episodes are. So check them out on our website or iTunes Music. Also, visit the site today to see the latest about coaching, where we connect you with dateable approved experts to help with everything from dating profile reviews, coaching, and even gathering real feedback about your dating style in a personalized and affordable way. To connect with us, visit datablepodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all under Dateable Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and auto-download the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast player so you never miss an episode.